I'm Jessica Muhlenberg, and one of my co-authors is here, Nancy Daly Moore. So thank you, Nancy, for the work you did on this. So I'll be talking about smoke-free policies and practices in substance abuse treatment facilities across the United States. I have no relationship to disclose. This study was funded by NIDA R01 Research. So the prevalence of smoking among people who have a substance use disorder is high, around 70 to 95%. But many drug treatment facilities do not encourage smoking cessation. They don't consider nicotine a primary drug. So the background is that banning tobacco products has traditionally decreased the amount of smoking in both the private and public sector. So we see that in terms of smoking bans. I've seen a lot of smoking here, actually, inside bars in New Orleans, and it's very strange to me because in Athens we have a complete ban. So when you go to bed at night, smell very different when you get up in the morning. I'm not used to that. So we've seen a lot of bans, but these don't necessarily take hold for in substance use disorder facilities. So we have smoke-free environments for protection of non-smokers and to promote smoking cessation. So if we make it harder to smoke, people won't be able to smoke, and hopefully it will move them towards a behavioral change. But tobacco continues to be a major problem in substance use disorder programs, with 65 to 87% of patients smoking and 20 to 40% of clinicians who actually smoke who are treating the patients. There are a couple of state restrictions. New Jersey in 2001 actually banned indoor, outdoor, and they started assessing for patient tobacco use and offering cessation treatment in 2001. But it is very hard, and this is what we look at now, it's very hard to implement those policies. So you can adapt something, but are people implementing it? And in 2008, my partner on this study, Lillian Eby, actually studied what happened with the New York state law in 2008, making everything, not just residential like in New Jersey, but everything was smoke-free. Everything, all substance use disorders were smoke-free. And then, even though these two states have policies, only 10 to 20% of treatment centers nationwide have policies that completely prohibit smoking. So why do we have a smoking culture? The AA model is to stop the primary drug first. But nicotine does change the chemistry of the brain, and it actually can hamper sobriety. So if you smoke even after you're sober, it makes you want to relapse, makes you want to drink, makes you want to go back to your primary drug. And I do quotes because, to me, most people's primary drug is tobacco, and then you hear about it with the gateway drug. But they are advised to tackle all of the other drugs and issues before actually tackling nicotine. And a lot of people say they have to have something, and it's a bonding. I mean, if you think about how a lot of people start smoking, I used to smoke, and I loved it, because I had friends who would smoke with me, and it was a thing that we did. And so if you think about the social bonding, particularly when people are in rehab and the bonding that they have trying to come off of alcohol and other drugs, sitting and smoking. So it really is part of the culture. But that is changing, as you can see from the statewide regulations that I spoke about earlier. Again, the smoking rate of clinicians is very high. There's a misguided belief that clients are not interested in smoking cessation. We actually know studies have shown that people who are being treated for other substances are interested in quitting smoking. And again, the lesser evil that I spoke about. And it does not compromise successful treatment. It actually helps to quit all substances. But one of the questions is, would patients attend programs with full bans? Because, again, I spoke of the smoke breaks, the smoking culture, the bond. Again, counselors smoking at 40%. Previous research found that staff members who smoke are less likely to encourage clients to quit smoking and discuss strategies of quitting smoking. And it was also found that only 35% of counselors believe that clients being treated for alcohol dependence should be encouraged to quit smoking. One explanation is that they're not trained in nicotine addiction. So, can I actually help someone quit smoking? And in general, smokers tend to react negatively to attempts to control smoking behavior. And we see that also with smoking ban policies in cities, that people don't want to be told you can't smoke here. So the purpose of this study was to investigate the prevalence of smoking bans and if these bans impact smoking attitudes and smoking cessation practices. We did phone interviews with around 1,000 program administrators and substance disorder facilities, and most were female, most were white, and there was a mean age of 44. So is your property 100% smoke-free? This is the variable that we went by, but I'll show you it as a limitation. What exactly is smoke-free? So when we ask that question, people will say, yes, 50%, but that's only half are smoke-free, which is more than we've seen in the past, but it's still not a lot. But if we ask if there's an outdoor ban on smoking, all of a sudden it drops. So when we developed the survey and when we were developing the study, we sat around the table a lot and said, what is 100% smoke-free? So it's almost like we tried to stage it. So yeah, we're 100% smoke-free. But they can smoke outside. Only 34% had bans on smoking outside for patients, 41% for employees, and 36% for visitors. Is the clinical staff discouraged from smoking? So yes, clinicians are discouraged from smoking, which is, again, where you can see for the outdoor bans. They have the tightest restrictions. So every one of these slides pretty much does a crisscross. So the blue are those who consider themselves 100% smoke-free, and I'll do that in quotes because, again, there were not full outdoor bans. But you personally believe substance abuse facilities should have a no-smoking policy for patients. Those with 100% smoke-free who said strongly agree, 72% of those who said strongly agree, 100% smoke-free. And of those who said strongly disagree, 75% were not smoke-free. You personally believe substance abuse facilities should have a no-smoking policy for visitors? Very similar trends. Okay. You personally believe substance abuse facilities should have no smoking policy for employees? Again, you see a very similar trend. Smoking is an accepted part of the staff at this treatment program. So I like this slide because it shows that if you do have a ban, that will hopefully move people towards acceptance because those are pretty high, you know, 85% for those who were not smoke-free. Okay, so smoking and tobacco use are not important issues in successful treatment of other substance abuse programs. Again, you see the same trend here. And our treatment protocol is so demanding that there will be little or no time for adding smoking cessation activities. So, again, those who strongly agree with that statement are not smoke-free. Allowing patients to continue, you see how now the X is more evened out here, but allowing patients to continue their smoking or other tobacco use facilitates successful treatment of their primary substance abuse issues. Even though this is significant, the strongly disagree was really only with the 100% smoke-free, and it evens out a little bit here. So we're still having to change attitudes in terms of facilitating. It does facilitate sobriety. And then our staff generally does not have the skills to provide smoking cessation treatment for patients. So again, the strongly agree, most of those were not smoke-free, but we don't provide a lot of training for nicotine addiction. Our staff does not have interest in providing patients with smoking cessation treatments. We do find that the main barrier for providing smoking cessation treatment is actually reimbursement and other financial issues. So our staff does not have interest in providing patients with smoking cessation treatments. So again, what is smoke-free? We considered it a 100% ban on the property, but again, 50% answered 100% smoke-free, but the outdoor bans were lower. So this suggests that we should have more public health organizational efforts for substance use disorder treatment facilities. And those who did identify as 100% tobacco-free do have less of a tobacco culture. You could see the trends with the X's. But this study highlights the importance of smoke-free facilities and the changing in attitudes and practices pertaining to smoking behaviors, even when traditional social norms dictate otherwise. Thank you very much.